Let's take a breath. Focus the energy in. Remind yourself that the present is the point of power. Using it will show you that it's true. Using it will show you that it's true. I'll be referring back to this throughout the class as the need arises.
Yeah.
I'm in heaven in 2007. I'm claiming it for myself. Anybody else want to claim it for yourself?
Yeah.
Enough to let go of the blocks to the awareness of it. All right. We're going to be in the teacher's manual in the Course of Miracles. And we're going to be on page 26. Are changes required in the life situation of God's teachers? And a teacher of God is just somebody who wants to demonstrate love instead of fear. So if you've decided that you want to be a demonstrator of truth, love, abundance, health, healing, peace, oneness, then you've decided to be a teacher of God. And the question in today's class is, well, are changes required in the life situation if you're going to be a love demonstrator? I'm going to read through it first, and then I'm going to come back, and then we'll attempt to hear it. Changes are required in the minds. Changes are required in the minds of God's teachers. Now, this may or may not involve changes in the external situation. Remember that no one is where he is by accident. You're not where you are by accident. That means chance plays no part in God's plan. There's no such thing as an accident. There's no such thing as happening to meet someone. Chance plays no part in God's plan. It is most unlikely, I love that, that changes in attitudes wouldn't be the first step in the newly made teacher of God's training. There is, however, no set pattern, since training is always highly individualized. There are those who are called upon. There are those who are called upon. There are those who are called upon to change their life situation almost immediately. But these are generally special cases that you decided you want to be more loving. You decided you want to have the truth. The Course says that it's usually a special situation when your life situation is immediately called upon to be changed. So this next sentence should release a lot of guilt. By far, the majority are given a slowly evolving training program.
In other words, we change really, really slow. So most of us have a slowly evolving training program.
So if you're moving slow, you're really moving about the same pace as the majority. By far, the majority are given a slowly evolving training program in which as many previous mistakes as possible are corrected. So when you are in a slowly evolving training program, you're having as many of your previous mistakes as possible slowly corrected. Relationships in particular must be properly perceived, and that means all dark cornerstones of unforgiveness removed. Otherwise, the old thought system still has a basis to come back. Okay? Right. As the teacher of God advances in his training, he learns one lesson with increasing thoroughness. You do not make your own decisions. You ask your inner teacher, the Holy Spirit, the voice for God, the voice for truth, for its answer. And it is this that you follow as your guide for action. This becomes easier and easier as you, the teacher of God, learns to give up your own judgment. The giving up of your own judgment, the previous prerequisite for hearing God's voice, is also usually a fairly slow process. Not because it's difficult to give up your own judgment in the favor of a higher truth, but because it's apt to be perceived as personally insulting.
Telling me to give up my own judgment. Even though I know it's a cult now, give up my own judgment. Hell, even though it's my judgment, it's gotten me into everything I'm going through right now that I'm miserable about, but I don't want to give it up.
Just remember this, your own best decisions got you in the situation you're in right now. Whatever that situation is, your own best choices put you in it. That relationship you're in right now, your own best choices put you in it. That financial situation, your own best choices put you in it. That job, everything about your life, your own judgment put you in it.
Yeah.
Just to give you a little tip. All right. All right. Okay. The world trains, the course says, it's apt to be perceived as personally insulting to give up your own judgment. The world's training, as a matter of fact, is directed toward achieving a goal in direct opposition to that of our curriculum. The world trains for reliance on one's judgment as the criterion for maturity and strength. Our curriculum trains for the relinquishment of judgment as the necessary condition of salvation, which the Course describes as right-mindedness. So, whenever you hear the Course correctly, you will feel released and better. When you hear the Course incorrectly, you feel pressure and frustration. I just want to be clear. So that's the way you can tell whether or not you're interpreting it right. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. You're saying you want to make a change in your life. The first thing the Spirit tells us is that the first thing you need to do is change your mind. That you might not have to change your mate, your situation, the circumstance at all, but you will be required to change your mind. Next thing to do is say, I'm not in the situation that I'm in by accident. I'm not in anything in my life right now by accident. There's nothing happening in my life right now by accident. Now, the next thing is, I need to change my attitude. Okay, then the mind says, well, what is the attitude that I need to change? First of all, I need to realize that if I'm getting ready to become a more loving person, that I need to change my attitude by remembering that I'm not where I am by accident. I might not have to change my external situation, but I sure need to change my mind. The next thing, if you really want to enjoy your spiritual path, is to realize that your training is highly individualized and tailored totally to you. So you're in your own individual training program that's unlike anyone else's in appearance. Oh, you got that?
Yes.
So you don't have to judge by anybody else's experience. You have your own individual path. You have your own individual path. You have your own individual training program. That would be the change of attitude. The other change of attitude is to realize that if I do find my life changing really, really fast, as soon as I say I've decided to be more loving and be more conscious, then I'm a special case. The little bus is coming to get you. You're a special case. Okay, all right. Now, the other thing, if you really want to hear it really peacefully and really feel okay about your path, is to realize that you are in a slowly evolving program, so give yourself a friggin' break. Okay? It's a slowly evolving program. Give yourself a break. Right? Then it says, what is a slowly evolving program? Well, it's a program where as many of my previous mistakes as possible are being slowly corrected. And when it talks about correcting your mistakes in the Course in Miracles, it's talking about correcting your perception. The Course in Miracles works at the mind level and the perceptual level. It is not a book about physically manifesting stuff in the physical world. It's not trying to get you a soulmate. It's not trying to increase your income. $20,000 a year is not trying to get you to lose 10 pounds. The Course in Miracles is about inner peace. And when it says when you achieve inner peace, then you can hear your own inner guidance. And your own inner guidance is telling you every moment of the day the correct choices and decisions to make. But we're not hearing it because we're listening to our own judgments based on what we learned in the world since we've been born. Everybody still with me?
Yeah.
Okay. So the main thing that we have to work on in all our relationships in order to let go of the fearful thought system is to allow all cornerstones of unforgiveness to be removed. So the Course teaches that every single problem on any level that a person believes that they have is coming from a grievance. You can make it complicated, but it's a grievance at the bottom of your problem. You can say it's your money, you can say it's your job, you can say it's your mate, you can make up anything in the world you want to make it up, or you want to say what your problem is. But from a Course in Miracles perspective, your problem is a grievance that you're holding in your mind. In other words, you're saying, if this were different, if they were different, I would be happy. A grievance is a reflection of the statement, if this was different, I would be happy. If everything outside of me changed, I'd be happy. So I'm mad at everything because it's letting me down, because it's not being the way I want it to be. And that's why I'm mad. That's what all grievances are. It's I wish it was some other way than how it is, especially with you. Especially with you. See, everybody still with me?
Yeah.
Trucking along? Okay. Listen to me the way you would listen to a conversation that somebody's having with you, more so than if you're listening to analyze it or to understand me. It makes a big difference. Someone's having a conversation with you, you're just listening. But if you're analyzing, you're not really hearing because you're busy trying to break it all down as you hear it, so you miss a lot of it. But if it was just a conversation, it'd be easy to hear the Course. For instance, if I walked up to you and said, I'm getting ready to change myself, so I really need to change my mind, because I know I'm not in this relationship or job or where I am by accident. I realize I got my own special path, but I'm going to pretty much be moving pretty slow, where as many of my old mistakes as possible are being corrected, I need to let go of some grievances. Did y'all just hear that? That's all it just said. That's all it just said, right? Okay, then it says, as I advance, if you really want to know if you're really advancing, okay, if you're advancing, you learn one lesson with increasing thoroughness. What is that lesson? That's right. I've never asked you anything that's not right on a page in front of you. You got the book. guaranteed right answer all the time. You can't lose in one of my classes. You know, it's an open book test, but that's the problem because we don't open the book. You'd be amazed at how many Course in Miracles students never open the book and get mad at the Course in Miracles and say it doesn't work. Have you opened the book? No, but it doesn't work. Don't be getting all down in these details. You know. Yeah. So the Course says, as I begin to advance, I'm not going to make my own decisions. Yeah. What does that mean? It means that I'm going to always get quiet, go within, and ask my peace for the answer. I'm going to get quiet. I'm going to go within and ask the Holy Spirit, my higher self, my loving self, for the answer. Now, what's interesting about that is that most people, when they're upset, they go inside and they ask their angry, upset self for the answer. They go right to the grievance mind for the answer. Notice that I said, you're quiet, you go inside and ask your loving self for the answer. That's different. I don't care how mad I am at you. If I go inside and ask my loving self what to do, it's going to tell me not to get a rifle. You know what I'm saying? Your loving self, even without studying the Course, all of you all know what your loving self would say. We all do. We all do. It's going to tell you, don't attack. All right. So really giving up your own judgment
is merely giving up that part of you that wants to attack. Because it certainly isn't the loving self that wants to attack to begin with. So when it says giving up your own judgment, that means giving up all the thoughts you have that are contrary or opposite to the truth. But that makes sense, because the truth isn't going to attack in the first place. So if there's any fear going on in us, it can be coming from the love in us. It's got to be coming from the fear in us. And since it's coming from the fear in us, it must be something we're telling ourselves. Because love isn't going to tell you you're going to hell. Love isn't going to tell you that you're sinful and guilty. Love isn't going to tell you that somehow or another you're limited and you're not enough and you're all alone and that you deserve to suffer and sacrifice. Love don't tell you no stuff like that. Fear does.
That's hard to believe. And even quite startling.
Now, then it says that as you follow your teacher's guidance, it says it becomes easier and easier. Like right now in my own life, I'm seeing such benefits from practicing the truth and not attacking that it makes the appeal of the old thought system become less and less and less, because nobody learns who learns through rewards are going to keep on doing the stuff that comes from pain. The only reason why a person keeps looping back and trying the old stuff again is because they never tried the new stuff. They're thinking about it. They're talking about it. They're reading about it. They're philosophizing about it, but they haven't done it yet. Okay? But when you do it, something's going to go better. And as a result, you're going to go, I think I'll try that again. It's like every time I go to start my car, I always take my keys out and put it in ignition. I don't one day try the ignition, the next day push the headlamp, and the next day go behind it and touch the tail lamp to start my car. I do the same thing every time to start my car because that's what works, so nobody has to make me do what works over and over again. When you're doing stuff that don't work, you keep trying different stuff. Now, it's usually a slow process learning how to listen to your real self. First of all, most people don't even know what it is. So the Course says it's difficult not because it's really difficult to listen to the truth as opposed to listening to the lie. It's difficult because I think it's personally insulting for me not to figure it all out, doing it on my own and be self-sufficient and make up my own answers. As a matter of fact, that's the criterion for maturity in the world, is how much I do everything by myself on my own without any help from anything or anybody else. So it's insulting to ask me not to use my judgment. The training of the world is saying, just to go to yourself, just go to yourself. Don't go to anything higher than yourself. Don't go to anything greater than yourself. Don't try to go to the source. The world says, do it on your own. That's why the books that are all about self-made, doing it on my own, creating it by myself, are the big sellers. Because the ego mind is the mind that wants to be autonomous and self-sufficient unto itself, separate from all other things in order to survive. And that's why it struggles. You show me a person that believes they're alone, and you're looking at a person that's afraid. Okay, so are changes required? Where are they required more than anywhere else? In the mind. Okay. If something happens really quick, as soon as you say you want to change and everything starts happening quick, you get laid off, your mate leave you, your job explodes, your car, you know, what is that telling you? You're a special case. You're a special case, right? All right. Is it usually slow, a slowly evolving program? So if you're moving slow, take your time. Everything is cool. We are eternal beings, which means that we have always. Okay? Just give yourself a break. Give yourself, because believe me, pain has a limit, and you will reach yours. Now, some people's tolerance for pain is greater than others, and it takes them longer before they slam up against the wall and they finally go, you know, I'm going to do it differently. Your job is just to live it and accept it for yourself. And trust that the same power that's guiding you is the same power that's guiding everybody else. And if there's something for you to say or do, you will be told to do it. But you're not supposed to delay yourself for somebody else. Because if you do, you're not setting an example to help them change their mind. Because you're staying right where they are. This may be disappointing to caretakers. Because caretakers are people who get their sense of self-esteem from trying to fix and take care of everybody else. Because they don't have it for themselves. So caretakers always like to fix everybody and get in relationships where the other person just depends on them for everything. And they're always the one that's trying to keep it all together. Those are caretakers. You ever been one?
No, I am.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it never really works. You know, after you get through caretaking, then they go take care of somebody else. Caretaking, then they take care. They just switch it around. They just switch it around on you, you know. Thank you for helping me heal. Because when I got healed, I realized you're not the one I want to be with. You know, I had somebody release me in a relationship and they thanked me for giving them the strength enough to do it. Through teaching and talking to them from the truth. That was a trip. Thank you so much. All your truth has helped me say bye to you. But, okay, that's all right. That's okay. It's okay. So we're going to relinquish our old judgment, and that's what's going to bring us to salvation, which is called peace. Now, before I go, I'm going to take 5 minutes for discussion and questions or just comments before I go to how do you relinquish your judgment. That's the next section I'm going to cover. Okay. Any clarification? Any questions? Any ahas? Yes.
See if I can think of how to word this.
Okay.
Because it's not somebody out there doing it to me. It's all in my mind, all my perception. I accept that. I don't always get it all the way. We're still practicing. But as far as, like, the caretaker, what you're talking about, me, versus learning to accept, change my mind, isn't all I should have to do is change my mind? But I haven't turned into Mother Teresa yet. I'm not that fast.
And it's a slowly evolving training process that you got your own individual path, and all you have to really do is change your mind. Do you know the one change of mind that it's talking about? The one change of mind that it's talking about would be you being willing to give up your old past learnings and judgments and opening yourself up to receive the truth. That's the change of mind that's required. This truth is always, remember, the truth is always simpler than what our ego would make it up to be. And that's what makes the Course a challenge. Because people like complicated answers, and I don't give complicated answers from the Course. And so the ego freaks out at that because if it's not complicated, then it's easily understood. If it's easily understood, then you can do it. And the biggest defense against change is to make something so complex that you claim you can't do it. So people love complex. If I talk to you about astral planes and lives 300 from here and 10,000 dominions and all the different light rays, see, you can spend a lifetime with that. But if I say you need to change your mind by letting go of your old judgments, accepting the new judgment, and remember you're in a slowly evolving training program and you need to learn how to forgive, see, you can't pretend you didn't understand that. So then it becomes a thing of do I want to do it or not. But as long as it's complicated, you can say, oh, this is so complicated. I'm such a complicated person that I just can't solve my problems. Why? Because I'm so complicated. You know, complication is nothing but a smoke screen that hides the simplicity of the answer. And the more you're not ready for the answer, the more complex you'll make it seem like it is.
So changing my mind doesn't mean I automatically like the way a person behaves. I can love them, but
No. Changing your mind means you're willing to go to and letting go of whatever it is that's in your mind that makes you not like them. You know, that I'm willing to let go of the block. And that's even simpler, because all I have to do is be willing to learn how to listen to my real self and to get in touch with God, love, whatever you want to call it. That's the real change of mind. The real change of mind is relinquishing your own ego judgment. That's all it's saying. You don't have to figure all that out. It just changing your mind means you're willing to start to change your attitude. That's all it means. It means, the Course says, a change of mind is nothing but a radical shift in your purpose. I like that. You know, it's like, when have I changed my mind? I've changed my mind when I've radically shifted my purpose from attack to radically shifted my purpose to all I really want in my life is peace. Now I've changed my mind. Change your mind isn't about, you know, the stuff we think it's about. You know, whether or not I want to eat pizza, whether or not I want to eat sprouts. That's not changing your mind. What's changing your mind is for you to get clear about the purpose of the pizza and the purpose of the sprouts. And to be sure that your purpose is peace as opposed to your purpose being to hurt yourself again. Changing your mind means changing your purpose. Changing your mind means changing your purpose. Changing your mind means changing your purpose. Not the words you use in your mind. Those people say, can you guys use different words in my mind? I'm changing my mind. I'm changing my mind. I got new words in my mind. I changed my mind. You know, no, I changed my purpose. I changed my mind. If I stand in front of you and all I want to do is love you as opposed to get something from you and manipulate you in some way for my own good, I've changed my mind. Anybody else? Okay.
So it's basically unconditional versus having conditions. Because if you have conditions, there's judgment. And to keep it simple, like you said, this would be a peace thing.
It depends on to me, on what you mean by unconditional. What do you mean by unconditional?
What you're saying, just allowing somebody to be who they are. You don't lose who you are, they don't lose who they are.
Right, right, right. And the surefire sign of a person who doesn't know who they are.
Right.
Is they don't know what they want. And if you don't know what you want, then you certainly wouldn't know if it showed up. So most people keep trying to get everybody to change into something that they hope will make them happy. Maybe one of the roles I assigned to you would be the one that'll do it for me. So in other words, I'm just trying to get you to dance like a puppet in my world until you finally do put on the puppet show I like. And the conscious being says, I'm not going to be a puppet and I'm not going to make you a puppet either. The unconscious being is all about being a puppet and making everybody else their puppet and then holding a grievance against them if they don't dangle on the strings well. I'm dangling you and you're resisting. You don't love me. I'm dangling you. You're resisting. You don't love me. You love me if you let me control you. You know, control freaks hate my class. They can't stand my. It's an Earl Purdy. Don't you go to that class no more. You know, you do what I feel like you always have been. You be under my thumb the way you always have. You been going to that class, now you starting to think for yourself. It's a cult. And he's black too. Oh yeah. We know it's a cult now. You know it's a cult. You know it's a surefire sign. Okay. How is judgment relinquished? Ready? Judgment, like many devices by which the world of illusions is maintained, judgment is totally misunderstood by the world. Judgment is actually confused with wisdom, and judgment substitutes for truth. As the world judges the term, an individual is capable of good and bad judgment, and your education aims at strengthening the form of the good judgment and minimizing the latter, your bad judgment. There is, however, considerable confusion about what these categories of good and bad mean. What is good judgment to one person is bad judgment to another person. Further, even the same person classifies the exact same action as showing good judgment at one time and bad judgment at another time. Nor can any consistent criteria for determining what these categories are be really taught. Now, at any time, the student may disagree with what his would-be teacher says about good and bad judgment, and the teacher himself may be inconsistent in what he believes. So really, good judgment in these terms doesn't mean anything. No more does that. Okay. Then it says, it's necessary for the teacher of God, for you and me, to realize not that we shouldn't judge, we need to realize that we can't. So in giving up judgment, you're merely giving up what you did not have. You're actually giving up an illusion, or better, you have an illusion of giving up. You actually are merely becoming more honest. Recognizing that judgment was always impossible for you, you'll no longer attempt it. This is no sacrifice. On the contrary, you are putting yourself in a position where judgment through you rather than by you can occur. Okay, and the judgment that comes through you is neither good nor bad. It is the only judgment there is, and it is this one. You are guiltless, and sin doesn't exist. There's nothing you can do to permanently damage the universe or yourself. You're just not that special. Okay, you can't come up with something that's so intense that even the Creator cannot resolve it. You know, you got to be serious about a problem. You know, you got a problem so bad that if there was an external God that looked like a person, that the God would go, well, Earl, well, we can't handle Earl's problem. I'm God. Okay, so that's how special we think we are. You know, I got a problem that nobody can solve. That nothing can solve. See, that's just a distorted attempt to be special. You know, I'm so special, nobody can solve my problem. Y'all know that one? It's okay. Now, sometimes listen to the course as a trip. That's why I like to read through it first before I go back through it, because that way if I don't finish the whole thing, you still hear the whole thought. And have you noticed that when I read it, you hear it, and when you read it, you don't sometimes? Is it amazing that I'm reading right out the book and you'll hear everything that I'm saying, but you're reading, you go, what the hell did I just read? You know, anybody had that experience with the course? You pick it up and you go, I know I can understand English. It looked like English, judgment, others, devices, which the world, illusion. But when I put it all together, I go, what the hell did I mean? Did that mean? Or I'm wide awake, I start reading, and I go, so it must be pretty powerful that some part of us does not even want us to stay aware enough to even hear it. That's what attracted my attention. So why is this? I know English, but I'm reading a book that I don't understand. I'm wide awake and I'm going to sleep. He's only telling me that I deserve to be loved. Why am I resisting? What is it that's resisting only love? Think about that. So the Course says, the aim of our curriculum, unlike the goal of the world's learning, is what? The recognition that judgment in the usual sense is impossible. It's impossible to do judgment in the usual sense. That's not an opinion. It's a fact. It's impossible to do judgment in the usual sense. Now, let me explain why it's impossible for you to judge. So you won't even have to feel like somebody's taking something away from you. Okay? The Course says that in order to judge anything rightly, one would have to be fully aware of an inconceivably wide range of things. Past, present, and to come. In other words, you would have to recognize in advance all effects of your judgment on everyone and everything involved in every way. To judge right, you have to be totally, to judge me correctly, you have to know everything about my past. You have to also know everything about what I'm going through right now in my whole life. And you also have to know everything about my future for you to judge Earl Purdy. Yeah. And the Course says that also, and one would have to be certain that there is no distortion in his perception. So now I have to know your past, present, and future and be sure I'm looking at it correctly. And the Course says that would be how I would be fair. That'd be the only way I could be fair to everyone on whom my judgment rests now or in the future. I can only judge you fairly if I know all of you all's past, present, and future. And not only that, I have totally correct judgment. Yeah. Okay. So the Course is saying, let me ease the pressure of you thinking that you're being asked to sacrifice something when I said let go of judgment. Let me tell you what judgment is, and you will see you can't do it no way, so I'm not really asking you to let go of anything you can even do. So I'm really asking you to let go of something that you can't do no way. Which I think is a good deal.
Yeah.
You know, I free you from having to lift 500 pounds in order for you to have a dinner tonight. Even though you think you need to lift 500 pounds in order to eat. And you've been trying to lift it and you haven't been able to do it because you don't even have the capacity to lift 500 pounds. So now I'm telling you that you don't give up the illusion of having to lift 500 pounds and then you can eat without lifting 500 pounds. You can have the benefit of not judging simply because you can't. Honestly. Okay? Then the Quran says, who is in a position to do this? Who except in grandiose fantasies would claim that they know they can judge everybody's past, present, and future and know that they know exactly what's best for everybody and they know how to be fair to everybody and their own perception is totally correct about everything? Anybody that's like that in this room, would you please raise your hand? You're a special case. You're all special cases. You rest assured, you're a special case. Okay, now.
Here comes the bus.
The bus is out there. The bus is out there for some of y'all. Okay, now notice when I read it, it's a conversation. It's not. I'm just having a conversation. Here's some more of the conversation. Remember how many times you thought you knew all the facts you needed for judgment and how wrong you were? Yep. Is there anybody in here that hasn't had this experience of really thought they knew what was going on about something and found out later they were totally wrong? Okay. Would you know how many times you've been wrong, but you thought you were right and never realized you were wrong? It's not like you caught every time you were wrong and didn't realize you were wrong. The course is saying, you don't have an idea how many times you've judged and are wrong and don't even know you're still wrong. Then it says, he says, why would you try to use such an arbitrary basis for decision making? Why would you want to make your decisions based on your own judgment when you don't know the big picture and only God, your higher self, knows the big picture? You don't know the big picture, so you can't really make a true judgment because you don't know everything. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to make one more judgment. One more judgment. It's this. Okay, you ready? If we got a judge, this is the judgment to make that won't hurt you. Here it goes. There is someone with you whose judgment is perfect. There's something that's with you that does know all the facts, past, present, and to come. There's something in you that does know all the effects of its judgment on everyone and everything involved in any way. And this spirit, God, truth, your higher self, is totally fair to everyone, for there is no distortion in the Holy Spirit's perception. Judge that. Therefore, lay judgment down. Says not with regret, but with a sigh of gratitude. You know what? Stop today. I'm going to lay judgment down. Now you're free of a burden so great that you could merely stagger and fall down beneath it. I've been walking around, and the older you get, the more bricks you got on there. You know what I'm saying? So you got all these judgments, of course, and all of this judgment was just an illusion because you really didn't know anything. Right? He says, now can you rise up, unburdened, and walk lightly on? Right? And it is not only this that is your benefit. It's not the only benefit is not that you let go of the burden of judgment and now you can walk lightly on. He says the benefit is that you have given your sense of care away. Now your sense of care is gone because you know there is someone with you whose judgment is perfect. So you're not wearing the way you used to. It's like the more I remember that I do have an inner guide and the inner teacher, the less worries and cares I have about my past, my present, and my future. They go hand in hand. The more my faith increases, the less the more my worry decreases. How do you give your care away? How do you let go of cares? How do you let go of worries? Well, you gave yourself to the part of you whose judgment you've now chosen to trust instead of your own. And since you trust in the judgment of something smarter than you, he says you make no mistakes. Your guide is sure. And where you used to come to judge, you have come to bless. That's deep. You used to come to judge. I said, I used to come to judge. You come to judge. You come to judge. You come into a room and all I'm doing is judging. Right? Now when I walk into a room, like I'm in this room, it's funny. It's like when I change my purpose to focus primarily on being love and blessing, Spirit sent more people. Because I used to come to judge, now I come to bless. See, so if you want to bless, you'll never have a problem in your social life. Because Spirit will send you those to you who need you just the way you are, and that's the best way for you to be for them. So they're not trying to change you because the way you are is just what they need. So you can give them the blessing and let go of the burden. And they're thankful because who you are is so cool. It's like we're grateful to the sun, but the sun isn't singling any of us out to shine on. But we're all so glad that we receive it. But the sun is just being the sun. And you're supposed to be you, the same way as the sun being the sun. And then those who bask in your rays and who grow through the rays that come through you, they'll be totally grateful that you exist. You have to watch them making you out of a sun god. You know, some people make people out of a son of a bitch god. You know those people that your grievance has made them out of a god. You're literally using them to not allow yourself to have the kind of life that you deserve because you're so fixated on your upset and your anger around them. They have become your idol. They have become, as a matter of fact, they're controlling all your relationships because you won't even let yourself have one for fear of reproducing them again. So there you go, passing by all kinds of opportunities with new people because it hasn't dawned on you that they're not the person you were with because they're different people. So there are people who are waiting to be sent to you because they need you the way you are. There's right now there might be somebody on their knees like praying for, you know, for a black man with gray hair. You know, that's what they look for. That's what Tony turn them on. You gotta have gray hair and a little stomach. I have a little stomach, right there, a little stomach. I don't want it. You know, but we don't believe in ourselves enough to believe that that could be true. So therefore, we're always trying to look like somebody else. You know what I mean?
That's deep, y'all. That's deep.
And what I'm saying to you is who you are is enough. Who you are is enough. And the only reason why you would think you weren't enough is because you're using your own judgment. And if you're using your own judgment, then you're not up to snuff right now with you. Because it certainly wouldn't be the part of you that loved you that would be telling you you're not enough. So the mere fact that you feel that way means you're not listening to yourself. And you can always tell when you're not listening to yourself because when you're not listening to yourself, you don't feel good about yourself. So it could never be you really listening to yourself and feeling bad about yourself. It's impossible. So some of us are not listening to ourselves at all. And so now our opinion of ourselves, our judgment about ourselves, is that there's something lacking in us and something missing in us. And the mere fact that you feel that way means you're using your own judgment and not the judgment of love or the judgment of God, because God would never judge against you. So it's only you doing it. And then you form relationships with people who witness to your belief about yourself so that you can be right rather than be happy. You'll get the witness if you want the witness. If you want a witness that your life doesn't work and you don't work, they'll show up and they'll be happy and proud to show you that you ain't crap. And they'll remind you when you forget. Oh, don't forget now, you're not crap. You're not enough. You'll never be enough, and when you change that, you'll be enough. You know what I'm saying? They're witnessing back to you what you believe about yourself. And now it's time for you to refuse to accept that judgment, even though it's still coming at you because it's what you used to give yourself. And that old order from the kitchen is still showing up because the chef just got the message you didn't want those pancakes. And that's it that Thursday night. Do not be confused by the in-between state between when you decide to change your mind and when you start to see the result of the change, when you still see the residue of your old way of being still showing up for a while as it fades away. And all of you are in a fading away cycle, and the temptation is for you to be fooled by some of the same old stuff happening again, making you think that you're still generating it the way you used to. It's like turning off a TV and it takes a few seconds for the picture to fade off the screen. But you don't worry about it because you know you pulled the plug. So you know it's leaving, so you don't obsess about the fading image on the screen. So stop obsessing about the fading image on your screen. Okay? Like, okay. Remember that in love often. Now, a word from our sponsor. So here we go. I'm going to finish this last paragraph. We're going to actually finish two sections. Yeah. I can't believe it. All right. Okay, let me... Ah! It's not difficult to relinquish judgment, but it's difficult to try to keep it. The teacher of God lays judgment down happily the instant you recognize what it's costing you. This is powerful. When would I let go of my judging everything in a negative way, in a fearful way? I'll stop it when I realize what it's doing to me. I won't stop doing anything because of what it does to you. Haven't you noticed? But I will stop doing some stuff because of what it's doing to me if I care anything about me. That's why you want people to love themselves, because the minute they love themselves, they'll automatically treat you right. Most people reverse it. They try to get everybody to treat them right before the person is treating themselves right. And the devil works. Don't focus on anybody treating you right. You reinforce their idea that they are all right. And the more they love themselves, the more they'll stop giving you a hard time. Because somebody who's happy doesn't have time for grievances. Unhappy people are the ones who work so hard on forgiving. A happy person, there's nothing missing. Their life is too full, so they don't have time enough to worry about what happened when they was in the fifth grade. It only means you're not happy yourself, and you're not letting yourself be happy when you're obsessing about the past. That's all that means, is that you're not letting yourself have the joy you deserve to have right now. And that's why you can think about what your daddy did. If you were really happy right now, really happy and fulfilled, and your life really did feel good to you, you'd be so focused in the enjoyment and the expression of who you are, your mind wouldn't even have room enough for what somebody did at work Friday. You wouldn't even let your mind even go there because you realize what it would cost you. So what is it costing you to hang on to those old negative, fearful judgments? The Course says all the ugliness you look at is the outcome of judgment. All the pain that you're looking at, that's coming from judgment. All the loneliness and sense of loss, all the sense of passing time, all the sense of growing hopelessness, that's coming from your judgment. Sickening despair and being afraid of dying, all of that's coming from your judgment. He says, but now you know what? That it don't have to be that way. What do you mean? Let me say it again. You don't have to be experiencing ugliness. You don't have to experience pain. You don't have to experience loneliness. You don't have to experience a sense of loss. You don't have to experience the passing of time. You don't have to experience a growing hopelessness. You don't have to experience sickening despair. You don't have to be afraid of death. None of that is true, because you are an immortal, eternal spiritual being that is inhabiting a body with the purpose of learning how to create and to remember who you are. So since you are not your body, you will never die, but your body is. So therefore, we don't need to waste a bunch of time with it, since we only have a temporary time we're going to have it to learn with anyway. You know what I mean? I might be eternal, but my clothes aren't. Right? You may be eternal, but your body isn't. So your body is not being used correctly when your body is being used for anger, guilt, and fear, and attack. Your body is supposed to be used for love and joy and peace and awakening. And with that as a purpose, your body will respond accordingly. But when you hate yourself, hate somebody else, and full of grievances, your mind attacks your body in order for you to believe that you are the vulnerable person that you're telling yourself you are, so that you can be right instead of being happy. So, being broke is nothing but the witness to the belief that you have that you don't deserve to have abundance. It's making you right. Your bank account is making you right. That person that mistreats you in a relationship is making you right. They're showing you that you're right about believing you can't trust people, because, see, they're right there. But don't miss the other people, the other witnesses. Don't miss all those people that are there that do see you in a beautiful way, that don't judge you, that do accept you, because those are the ones that we tend not to give attention to because they're not giving us any problem. Because they're not giving us any problem. Because we think that the right use of time is, since I got these people over here handled and they treat me in a loving way, then I should just use all my time to work on the people that I got all the problems and the grievances with, because they're not handled. So then I spend all my time with things I don't like, and I don't spend any time with the things or the people I do like, because they're not causing me no problem. That's insane. That's totally insane. But anybody recognize it? Anybody recognize it? It's called judgment. It's coming from your judgment about how you think it should be in order for you to be happy. And if you be honest with yourself, you've been doing it long enough to know it don't work by now. It's not like if you do the thing, it doesn't work a certain number of times, it begins to work. You know, that has never worked, but we know it's the 501st time it will work. So we keep doing the thing that doesn't work because we know we haven't done it enough. You all absolutely, totally, completely, 100% deserve to have joy and happiness and peace starting today. It's totally possible for you to have it if you follow your own individual training and spend all the time that you spend trying to fix other people on working on changing your mind and attitude and letting go of your old beliefs and ideas. As you change your mind, much to your surprise, they will seem to miraculously change. And it will freak you out because it never dawned on you that you were the problem. It's like, oh, that was the one person I left out. It was me. I assigned to my mind the purpose of finding everything other than itself that must change in order for me to be happy. So I use my mind to figure out everything and everybody that must shift other than me. I figure it out all day. I even journal about it. So the Course says that now you know these things aren't true, these things aren't real. It doesn't have to be that way because you've given up their cause. And what you were experiencing was never more than the effects of your mistaken choice. So instead of feeling guilty, just say, I made a mistake. I'm not guilty. I'm not bad. I am not sinful. I am not guilty. I am not bad. I am not sinful. I am not guilty. I am not bad. Now why don't I say, I am innocent. I am good. Because when you say, I am innocent, I am good, that's great. But when you say those things, it's important to recognize that you're saying, I am not guilty. I am not sinful. See, because people say to me, I am peace. Yeah, but that means you're saying you have no conflict. And see, when you say that, all of a sudden you get real with yourself. You can say, I am peaceful. But when you say, I have no conflict at all of a sudden, you see where you're lying to yourself. You know, so it's really, when you say, I am spirit, everybody will say, I am spirit, and that's a great thing to say. But do you know you're saying, I am not a body? See, that's a whole, I am spirit, but it means I'm not a body. If I'm not a body, what am I? It's a great question. If I'm not a body, what am I?
I'm free. Yeah.
That's exactly what I am. And then I let my freedom express through the body, but I cannot have freedom of the body. It's impossible to have freedom of the body because the body is not unlimited. There are limitations to what the body can do. So therefore, it's impossible to have a totally free body. But you can certainly have a totally free mind. There's not a person in this room that can stop me from thinking anything I want to think about any of you right now. But you can certainly stop me from doing things I want to do with you with my body. See, the body isn't free, but y'all can't stop a thought that I'm matter of fact. You love my thoughts. You love it.
You love your pretty thoughts.
You love my pretty thoughts. My pretty thoughts. So, teacher God, this is the last sentence. This step will bring you peace.
All right.
Can it be difficult to only want peace? Could you acknowledge yourself for listening to this deep session? Let's acknowledge the new year. Everyone together. Born in heaven. And the 007. Boy, that was, I love coming to my classes because it always reminds me of what I don't want to forget. So no matter whether anybody else really hears it, it's reinforced in my own mind. So I benefit every time. And I benefit from you constantly. Your blessings in my life. Beyond measure. More than what I can say. And it doesn't matter whether you agree with me or believe that I'm sincere. It has nothing to do with my sincerity. And that's good to know. I want the best for you. I know who you are. You are me in another form, in another body. That's what makes it fun. The one divided itself up into the many in order to have this experience that we forgot. Now we think we really are different. And so we sometimes fight each other. So let's get back to basics. There's something in you that does know. I want to thank you for sharing
with me financially. I do the Course in Miracles full time, and I don't charge a set fee for the class because I don't want a person not to be able to come because of their inability to pay, and so I trust that those that can will give. Thank you so much.
Bye, Earl.
Now we're a little past 2 o'clock. I ask you perfect. There is someone with you whose judgment is perfect. There is someone with you whose judgment is perfect, who knows all the facts, past, present, and future. There is a part of you, there's someone who's with you, who knows your past, your present, and your future, and knows all the effects of its judgment on everyone and everything involved in any way. There is a part of you that is a powerful part of you that is a powerful part of you that is a powerful part of you that is fair, totally fair to everyone and everything. It's fair to everyone and everything because there is no distortion in God's perception. There is no distortion in love's perception. There is no distortion in the Creator's perception. So change your mind, change your mind, change your mind, change your mind. Make a commitment today that you are willing to let go of your old way of looking at things that has not produced the happiness that you know you deserve. You have an individual curriculum. You have your own path. It's like nobody else's path. You must be true to your own path. Else's life. Don't try to do it the way someone else tells you it should be done. Unless your inner self resonates with what you're hearing. You have your own set training program, and God's will for you is perfect happiness. God's will for you is perfect happiness. God's will for you is perfect happiness. Now, for about 30 seconds, I'd like to those who want to claim it for themselves coming into this year to go, God's will for me is perfect happiness. 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 I love you. Thank you for coming. I appreciate you, Holy Spirit. Your blessing. Don't let nobody tell you that lie. Anything else but that. Hugs are available, and may the course be with you.
Wow. Wow.